While we're stood, shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our servant king. Thank you for your incredible generosity towards us. Thank you that we stand, we live, we worship, and we love because of what you have given. Teach us now through your precious word, we pray. Amen. Please do take a seat and make yourselves comfy. As I begin, I'd just like to say an enormous thank you to everybody who came and worshipped here at St. James throughout December, and especially to the huge number of you who gave time and energy and ideas and talent to make it such a special Advent. I think there's perhaps no better time in the year to recognise and acknowledge the incredible breadth of skills that come together in order to make a church like this a church. And it's a coming together that can be incredibly easy for us to take for granted, but without it, this place wouldn't be what it is. Since arriving at St. James, I've been really struck by the extent to which things just happen. So when I turned up this morning, the church was already open, the lights were on, it was warm. There was a glass of water here for me. Before you arrived this morning, the band were all here. They've already practiced. They're set up. They're ready to lead us in worship. Events are planned and put together. Refreshments are served. And we all benefit from the incredible machine, almost, that St. James is. But of course, the reality is, however, that things don't just happen. Because behind every generous act, there are people willing to give something of themselves in love and service to God. And if God's word is to be believed, then this is the calling of all of us who say that we belong to Jesus. It says in 1 Peter, each of us should use whatever gift we have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That is the inspiration for our next 8 weeks, where we will be looking at how we can become more generous people. Generous church is not just about what we do or give to serve, but about our whole heart attitude towards service. It will mean looking at our everyday lives and seeing how they impact the bigger picture of our church, our community, and God's kingdom. It will mean reflecting on how we treat each other, on, yes, what we do with our money, how well we receive as well as give hospitality. And I hope it will also mean us discovering new talents, or perhaps even rediscovering old ones, and seeing how we can put them into practice to worship God and to support each other. Now, I'm aware that some of us already give a huge amount, not only to the church, but to our friends, our family, and at work. You may feel that your generosity frequently goes unnoticed or unappreciated, and that hurts you. It might be that you feel unable to be generous, You can see where I'm at this morning as well. As though you have nothing to give. Well, my hope is that from God's word, we will rediscover the heart of Christian generosity and find that when it's done God's way, generosity will make us more fulfilled and not more worn down. Generosity God's way makes us more fulfilled and not more worn down. So that's where we're beginning this series, thinking about generosity God's way. And that means focusing away from ourselves and what we do, and towards God and what he has done. It would be a mistake to believe that generosity begins and ends with us. We have a finite pool to give from. If we think that we are the source of generosity, then eventually we will be worn down or we will run out. Nothing, however, changes who God is. He endures forever. He was and is always the first to love, the first to give, and the first to serve. Generosity begins with and belongs to God. So when we come to think about our own generosity and how we serve God, it has got to start with Him. It's got to begin with a humble understanding of who our God is and what He has done for us. God's generosity and love are not dependent on what we give Him. That should be an incredibly liberating thing to hear. Because if it was, I know that I would be worn down until there was nothing left of me. Instead, it has everything to do with God's generous character. I think I've made that point. Do we agree? Most of you nodded. Good. In Acts, Paul says this: "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything. Rather, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." What could I ever give God? If God was stood in front of you now, what would you give Him as an acceptable offering? God needs nothing, and all of creation is His. If this is true, then He could very rightly keep all things to Himself and demand worship and obedience in return for favours. And who among us could challenge Him? Who among us could stop Him from doing that? But thanks be to God, He is not like that. He instead chooses to be generous. We've heard that beautiful story from John's Gospel of Jesus washing His disciples' feet. For me, this moment is one of the most wonderful images of God's generosity. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who is worthy of all power and honor and glory, chooses to empty Himself in order that we might be filled up. He performs the most humble of tasks, that of washing feet, a task that would have been reserved for a Gentile slave. Jesus shows us here what the generosity of God really looks like, that it is sacrificial, that it is humble, and it is loving. He takes the lowest position, the role which is prescribed for the outsider, our role, and uses it to perform an act of service, which points to an even greater act of love, that of the cross. The washing of dirty feet as a sign of the coming washing of sins through His blood. Even the one who would betray Him, Judas Iscariot, has his feet washed alongside Jesus' friends. That's something I noticed for the first time when preparing this, that Jesus' enemy is sat amongst His friends and receives the same treatment. That is the perfect, endless generosity of Christ. The stream of living water, the jar of oil that never runs dry, the house with many rooms. Christ is not worn down by giving. As His followers and His friends, our feet must be washed like those of His disciples if we are to have a part with Him. Our relationship with God does not begin with what we can do for Him, but by first humbly accepting what He has already done for us. And we should desire it as much as Peter did, whose desire for closeness with Jesus leads him to ask not for just His feet, but His hands and His head to be washed as well. Only once we have been served by Christ in this way can we begin to think about serving in a fulfilling and meaningful way. We had that one verse reading from Mark that says this, that Jesus came among us not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Now, for many of us, this may be a message that we have heard hundreds or maybe even thousands of times before. And I find that familiarity can often cause complacency. We might know the story of Jesus so well, be so familiar with His sacrifice, and have said yes to Him so many times that perhaps it doesn't quite move us in the same way that it once did. I know that I can be very guilty of this, as Jesus' life is not just part of my personal faith, but my career as well. And I can spend my whole week thinking that I'm serving God, but always forgetting and neglecting God's service of me. The irony is that without recognizing His generosity, I can never give Him what He truly asks of me, which is a relationship of grateful worship. It can be almost as though I am trying to justify my salvation, justify God's love for me by what I do. But doing that is as futile as me trying to pay back the government my student loan. Anyone else got a student loan? There we go. Preach it, brothers. I currently pay my student loan off £20 a month, and the interest is £24. The ransom Jesus paid on the cross for us to have a relationship with the Father was so great that we can never hope to pay back the cost. Again, to try and do so will wear us down. But we are freed from the fear of earning God's love by his grace. Generosity with God is a living, breathing, dynamic, relational thing. It's a back and forth between heaven and earth, inspired by the overwhelming gifts of God. As we daily recognize what he has done for us, we respond to him with generous and thankful hearts. What our response will practically look like will be our focus over the next 7 weeks, and I really do hope that you're able to join us for each of those. But for now, it's just worth acknowledging that we should be responding. Part of a fulfilling Christian life is reflecting the generosity of Jesus. Now, there's an old joke that I'm sure all of you will have heard, which is that churches should come with the same warning label as helicopters. Be careful not to get sucked into the rotors. There you go. There was a new one to some of you. The old ones, the classics. Thanks, Linda. I'll slip you that tenner later. I really hope that you haven't sat down and listened to my sermon and to my notice at the start of the service about the skills training morning and have just assumed that I'm trying to get you to sign up to things. Because honestly, friends, that is not my intention. Our gift of worship to God should be something like a homemade Christmas gift. The one thing that you give to the one who already has everything. Something that is uniquely us, reflecting some of our character and reflecting our humble worship of the one we give it to. There is a place for that kind of generous service here at St. James, and I'm passionate about each of us finding what that is for us. It's just another part of what makes generosity fulfilling. So as I finish, as we begin this series, I just think we should be mindful of two things. Firstly, is to always be thankful for the incredible generosity of the Father, shown in him giving us life, all that we have, and mostly in the giving of the life of his Son, Jesus. Generosity is his idea, it is his character, and it is his passion. He is the unending source of generosity. And secondly, we will discover our own generous hearts only once we have been served by Jesus. To be faithful to Jesus means receiving and reflecting his generosity in our own lives. So we're not talking about whether we are generous, but trying to understand why we are generous. Because I don't try to be generous in order to prove or protect my salvation, even if I do try and do that sometimes, but because I want to have a healthy and flourishing relationship with my Saviour Jesus. I am by no means there yet. But I hope that we can take this journey together throughout January and February and offer all of ourselves to God this year to see how reflecting his generosity will change our lives, our church, and Woodley. So thanks be to God. Amen.